I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street.
People assume that as a feminist, I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
I can't help but walk through those lines and panels and see people that I don't know. And the next thing I know, I'm crying.
This was the first time in Canada that a national political figure did say that he happened to be gay.
I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man. And then all of a sudden I looked up again and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Thailand's marriage equality bill passes the lower house in a landslide.
Houthis to crucify 9 men for immoral acts in Yemen.
And happy birthday to us.
Those stories and more this week as we begin our 36th year discovering This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 30th, 2024. Thailand is now a major step closer to marriage equality. Amendments to the Civil and Commercial Code that would open the institution to same-gender couples advanced in the lower house of parliament on March 27th. The vote was a stunning 400 in favor and only 10 against. 3 MPs did not vote and 2 abstained. The legislation consolidates different bills proposed by each of the chamber's 4 major political parties. It changes references to men and women in the code to individuals, and husband and wife to marriage partners. It grants lesbian and gay couples full financial and medical equity. However, parental rights are not spelled out. Activists worry that not changing father and mother to parent in the code might limit queer married couples' access to adoption and related rights. It should be smooth sailing for the measure going forward. The Senate rarely contradicts such an overwhelming majority in the House. If approved, the bill would go next to King Maha Vajiralongkorn for his royal assent. That could take months, according to CNN. After the king's presumed signature, the legislation would take effect in 120 days. Thailand would become Asia's 3rd marriage equality nation after Taiwan and Nepal, and Southeast Asia's 1st. Thailand has a reputation for being a queer welcoming nation. Public opinion polls show widespread support for marriage equality, but it's still been a long road. Constitutional Court upheld an exclusively heterosexual definition of marriage as recently as 2020. Prime Minister Shweta Thavisin made marriage equality a key component of his election campaign last year. He's continued to promote the legislation since taking office in September. Thavisin has also endorsed Thailand's bid to bring world pride to Bangkok in 2028.
In Yemen, 9 men convicted of sodomy by a Houthi court will be crucified or stoned to death. 23 more defendants are going to prison for up to 10 years. 3 of them will also be publicly flogged. It's not clear how many of them actually engaged in gay sex. Opponents of the Houthi insurgency are often charged with immoral acts in Islamic courts, as Human Rights Watch has observed. The Houthis are Shia militants who overran Yemen's capital city of Sana'a in 2014. They now control large parts of the nation's territory on the Arabian Peninsula. Earlier this year, they tried to impact the Israel-Hamas war by attacking commercial ships in the Red Sea. The proceedings were egregious violations of Yemen's own criminal procedural code, according to Human Rights Watch. The group says that the men were denied adequate legal representation and other standard due process guarantees. The sentences were handed down in late January, but are only coming to light now. Human Rights Watch charges that the Houthis are using these cruel measures to distract from their failure to govern and provide people in their territories with basic needs.
Trans patients under the age of 18 in Wyoming can no longer get gender-affirming health care. Both chambers in the Republican-dominated legislature approved the bill in early March, and Republican Governor Mark Gordon signed it into law on March 23rd. It's the 24th U.S. state with such a ban. Supporters claim that offering that care to transgender minors is dangerous and experimental. Under the law, doctors, pharmacists, and other healthcare providers could lose their licenses to practice in the state if they provide minors with puberty blockers or hormone therapy, both of which are reversible. Similar medications have been safely used since the early 1990s to treat cisgender children with certain cancers and early onset puberty. Wyoming's ban also forbids gender-affirming surgeries for minors, which are virtually unheard of. The American Civil Liberties Union of Wyoming vows that this fight is far from over, hinting at a constitutional challenge to the law. Their statement charges Republicans with choosing fear-mongering, misrepresentations, intimidation, and extremist policies over the rights of families and the lives of transgender youth in Wyoming.
PFLAG's confidential information about Texas member families with transgender children continue to be protected from State Attorney General Ken Paxton. Travis County Judge Amy Clark Meacham extended her temporary injunction this week that blocks Paxton from peering into how those families are meeting their children's special health care needs. PFLAG attorneys have insisted that Paxton is retaliating against the global queer families advocacy group because of its legal challenge to the Texas ban on pediatric gender-affirming health care. The AG alleges that medical practitioners are committing insurance fraud as part of a scheme to evade the law, such as by prescribing hormones for a pretextual medical diagnosis unrelated to gender transition. In extending the injunction, Judge Meacham wrote, "There is a substantial likelihood that PFLAG will prevail on the merits." PFLAG CEO Brian Bond says, "Trans youth and their loved ones deserve better, and we will continue to fight to protect our families because loving your LGBTQ plus kids is always the right thing to do." The trial is set to begin June 10th.
Trans journalist activist Aaron Reed responded to the latest social media firestorm, writing, "Transgender women have a biological advantage at darts? There is no evidence transgender women are better at angles and throwing a dart." The controversy arose when Dutch player Noah Lynn van Leeuwen scored back-to-back victories in late March over both men and women in the same week. First, the 27-year-old won the mixed male and female PDC Challenge Tour in Germany. She's the first woman to win an event in the series, one level under the sport's top tier. Van Leeuwen then bested two highly regarded veteran women's players at a women's tournament in the United Kingdom. Two of Van Leeuwen's Dutch women's teammates quit. One of them complained, "A biological man is playing on the women's team." Van Leeuwen herself has been mostly mum about what she considers an insane, primarily online debate. She responded, "I think the only unfortunate thing about this issue is that a lot of people forget that I am also a human being. I just go out and do the thing I love. It gives me joy."
Finally, fabulously attired drag queens entertaining children with life-affirming books at libraries or bookstores continue to threaten bigots in the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. A drag queen story hour at the Lancaster, Pennsylvania Public Library drew a bomb threat this week. The building and surrounding areas were evacuated in an abundance of caution. State police sent in bomb-sniffing dogs, but a suspicious package turned out not to be a destructive device. Sponsoring organization Lancaster Pride called off the event after city officials announced more emailed threats had been received. Lancaster Pride wrote in a social media post, "The safety and well-being of our community are of utmost importance to us." Of course, drag queen story hours for kids are vastly different than drag shows for adults, but opponents fail to see the difference. They've been coming to Lancaster County Commission meetings waving biblical passages in their attacks on the event as inappropriate for children. To one, it was degeneracy seeping into the community. Another suggested renaming the event Sodomite Story Hour. Christopher Paolini was to read in drag as Miss Amy Venete. He told Lancaster Online he thought the threats and cancellation were insane. Many businesses in the politically conservative area posted messages of support for the event on social media. One said, "Hate has no home here."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending March 30th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of the newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Joe Bainline. Stay healthy.
And I'm Melanie Keller. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
There are leaders in the LGBTQ community, and perhaps many of you in our listening audience, who were not yet born when This Way Out first went on the air on April 1st, 1988. Here are a few glimpses of what our world looked like during our first 6 months.
Perry Watkins entered the Army at age 19 as an openly gay man. During a career that spanned 15 years in the military, Watkins received promotions, security clearances, and excellent job evaluations. He never hid that he was gay. He twice re-enlisted. Each time, the Army knew he was homosexual. Yet in 1981, the Pentagon decided that all known homosexuals had to be barred from military service, no matter how exemplary their record. The Army tried to discharge Sergeant Watkins, but Sergeant Watkins took the Army to court. In a seesaw legal battle that so far has lasted 7 years, he has yet to win the right to re-enlist and earn a military pension.
Being black and growing up, looking at it, discrimination is the same. It doesn't matter how you color it, how you paint it. You know, that's why I laugh a lot when people say, well, how can you deal with this, you know, all you've been going through? I grew up black. I've been discriminated against all my life. For somebody to discriminate against me because I'm gay is a joke.
Earlier this year, Parliament approved Clause 28 in the United Kingdom, which prohibits municipal funding of any group or activity which promotes homosexuality. Over 50,000 demonstrated against Clause 28 in London.
On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street, where the marchers made their feelings on this new legislation very clear. Bringing a message of solidarity from gay and lesbian brothers and sisters in North America was one of the organisers of the 1987 March on Washington, Robin Tyler.
Are they arresting people? Do I want to arrest all the gays and lesbians in England, guys? You're going to have to arrest millions and millions and millions of people. Yeah. We are everywhere. Yeah. You cannot take us all.
Kate Clinton is a gutsy lady. She left her job as an English teacher at the age of 30 to become not just a stand-up comedian, but an out-of-the-closet lesbian feminist stand-up comedian.
People assume that as a feminist I'm going to do a lot of anti-male humor. I don't really know him that well to make jokes about him.
Now, I think it's time that we have a new feminist TV network. BTL, praise the lesbians. And we'd have some early morning religious music. Oh, give me that old lesbianism. Give me that old lesbianism.
I can't help but walk through those lines and lines and lines of panels and see people that I don't know. And the next thing I know, I'm crying.
On its third stop in the 1988 national tour of 20 American cities, the Names Project Quilt, memorializing the tens of thousands of men and women who have fallen victim to the AIDS epidemic, made a stop in Phoenix, Arizona, the weekend of April 16th. Housed in the Phoenix Civic Plaza, The massive quilt, in this case 61 squares of 32 name panels each, served as a quiet testament to the brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters, the mothers and fathers, and the friends and lovers who have died from AIDS.
These panels come from, you know, shirts and pieces of material or the things that were important to these people. That's what these panels are made out of.
I only wish more people in Phoenix had dared to visit this memorial to a war of apathy, indecision, public indifference, and red tape.
Want equal rights, so should we have queers as cops?
They're out of their head.
They are. It's wrong. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, if they want to do their thing, let them go someplace else.
They want us to do what they want. We don't want to do that.
They like for people to be gay. Like.
The way they're dressing, the way they're waving their arms at you.
Why don't you do things the way God made us to do it?
God,
is your mother and father a lesbian?
I know. God does not want two girls and two guys doing what half these people here are doing. They need help. Any person who is gay is sick.
Three gay University of California, Los Angeles students filed suit against Disneyland for not allowing them to slow dance at the Magic Kingdom on April 11th.
We're fighting for the injunction to show Disneyland as well as other businesses of all kinds that you can't just walk all over somebody's civil rights because they're doing something that you don't particularly agree with.
So we gotta fight back in large numbers, a fight back. I can't make it alone. Fight back in large numbers. Together we can make a safe home. Fight back.
Hello, I'm John Ritchie, author of City of Night, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. I hope that you do stay tuned.
And now, more highlights from the first 6 months of This Way Out, which hit the airwaves on April 1st, 1988.
First time in Canada that a national political figure, or for that matter a person at the provincial level, did say that he happened to be gay, and so I didn't really know what to expect.
Sten Robinson belongs to the New Democratic Party, the party that traditionally occupies the left of center in Canadian politics.
There's been a very important national debate. Even the kinds of very, very homophobic attitudes that have been displayed on the part of some, it's not a bad thing to have them exposed. And at the same time, I've just been enormously encouraged by the phone calls, the letters, the telegrams that I've gotten from literally right across the country, every province, every territory, small communities, big cities. It's really been really quite moving.
Chicago, city of the big shoulders. Making sense from the cornucopia of Chicago's great restaurant scene was the six-month project of Chicago editors and gastronomes Bill McBride and Jim Lasaki. The project culminated in the production of an astounding collection of recipes from 91 top Chicago eating establishments. The proceeds from the new cookbook benefit Chicago House, a not-for-profit corporation that operates residences for persons with AIDS.
We were walking to restaurants in the hot summertime. And when you walk in on a cook on a Saturday afternoon in a very nice restaurant, you know, and he's back there running his kitchen, and in comes this person through the alley back door, because that's how we learned how you get into kitchens, and that's where we needed to be. And there were a couple of times where not the nicest things were said, you know, kind of spicy comments.
With hunger pains and an urge to make some dishes dirty, in Chicago, the city of the big hips, I'm Barry Wick.
In a three-day conference this past February, several hundred black lesbians and gay men convened in Los Angeles to discuss the emerging leadership in the black, gay, and lesbian communities throughout the country. Keynote speaker, California Assemblywoman Maxine Waters, challenged the listeners to rid themselves of fear in the face of racism, homophobia, and discrimination.
You're much stronger when you have no fear. You're much stronger when you understand people respect you more when you don't have fear. And you're much stronger when you rid yourself of fear because your natural actions are such that you move like a person without fear. And when people see people who are fearless coming, they get out of the way.
Initially, I saw the door. It was like partially cracked, and the door opened a bit. I looked up, and nobody was there, and I didn't think anything of it. And I went back to having mutual oral sex with this man for about 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden I looked up again, and there was this officer standing in my bedroom door. And I asked him what he was doing there, which seemed like a pretty reasonable question.
Hardwick filed a civil suit at the federal district court to challenge the Georgia sodomy statute so that the kinds of intrusions into his bedrooms would cease. Unfortunately, he lost.
Hardwick is a decision that relegates gay men and lesbians to the status of criminals in 25 states in the District of Columbia because of who we love.
Oklahoma, crime against nature, 10 years. Rhode Island, crime against nature, 7 years minimum.
We want the Supreme Court out of our bedrooms. We want the government and police out of our bedrooms. We want the rights that all Americans want, including the most fundamental and basic of all rights, which is the right to be left alone.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court supreme enough to keep me from my dreams. Ain't no court supreme enough.
No, no.
Ain't no court supreme enough. Ain't no court
no
supreme
way.
Enough to keep me from my dreams.
My sweet. Place over there, over there.
Where will you be when they come? They will not come a mob rolling through the streets, but quickly and quietly move into our homes to remove the evil, the queerness, the faggotry from their midst. They will not come clothed in brown and swastikas or bearing chests heavy with gleaming crosses. The time and need for such ruses are over. They will come in business suits to buy your homes and bring bodies to fill your jobs. They will come in robes to rehabilitate and white coats to subjugate. And where will you be when they come? Where will we all be when they come? And they will come. They will come because we are defined as opposite, perverse, and we are perverse. Every time we watched a queer hassled in the streets and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we lied about the boyfriend or girlfriend at coffee break, it was an act of perversion. Every time we heard, "I don't mind gays, but why must they be blatant?" and said nothing, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let a lesbian mother lose her child and did not fill the courtrooms, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straights make out in our bars while we couldn't touch because of the laws, it was an act of perversion. Every time we let straight relatives bury our dead and push our lovers away, it was an act of perversion. And they will come for the perverts. And it won't matter if you're homosexual, not a faggot, lesbian, not a dyke, gay, not queer. It won't matter if you own your own business, have a good job, or an SSI. It won't matter if you're Black, Chicano, Native American, Asian, or white. It won't matter if you're from New York or Los Angeles, Galveston, or Sioux Falls. It won't matter if you're butch or femme, not into roles, monogamous, non-monogamous. It won't matter if you're Catholic, Baptist, atheist, Jewish, or MCC. They will come. They will come to the cities and to the land, to your front rooms and in your closets. They will come for the perverts. And where will you be when they come?
You've been listening to Lessons from 1988 as This Way Out begins its 36th year.
The U.S. Army reinstated Sergeant Perry Watkins in 1990 when the Supreme Court let stand the appeals court ruling in his favor. He opted to settle for a promotion, an honorable discharge, retroactive pay, and full benefits. The 1994 film Sis, the Perry Watkins story, documents his drag performances both on and off base. He lived to see the institution of the military's ill-fated Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in 1994 and died of AIDS in 1996.
AIDS also took Michael Hardwick in 1991. The Supreme Court case that bears his name was overturned by the 2003 Lawrence decision that struck down U.S. state sodomy laws. Current high court justices have suggested that Lawrence may be in jeopardy.
Clause 28 was struck down in 2000 in Scotland and in 2003 in England and Wales. 2 decades later, the no-promo idea floated across the pond in the form of Florida's Don't Say Gay. Now an LGBTQ ally, the Disney company locked horns with Republican Governor Ron DeSantis over the policy. Their courtroom sparring match seems to have deflated with the DeSantis presidential bid and no one the victor.
The NAMES Project AIDS Quilt is now part of a multifaceted program which includes the National AIDS Memorial Grove in San Francisco. Sections of the quilt are traveling the southern U.S. to address the specific needs of communities of color in a new initiative called Change the Pattern.
Millennials call her Auntie, but California Representative Maxine Waters is now one of the most powerful players in the U.S. Congress.
Poet Pat Parker died of breast cancer in 1989. She'd probably be surprised that her challenge, Where Will You Be When They Come, might be relevant 36 years later. But maybe not.
Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Joe Bainline and Melanie Keller and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our archival correspondents included Tim Richardson, Robin McCall, Christopher McPherson, Andrew Ross Exler, Barry Wick, Rob Atkinson, Anthony Price, Alan Ross, and John Zay.
You heard music from Peter and the Wolf and by Teresa Troll, Reflex, Holly Near, Diana Ross, Bob Marley, The Bobby Fuller Four, Janice Lieber and Chopped Liver Productions, and Mary Watkins, with poetry by Pat Barker. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
This Way Out thanks the Richard Rosenberg Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them.
Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
For everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And on KGNU Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins, Ward, Colorado.
CFNH St. John, New Brunswick.
WLSL St. Leo, Dade City, Florida.
And a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one.
Stay healthy.
Stay safe.
And stay tuned, y'all.